All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Absolutely Fucking Not podcast with your host, Daybar is Open, the Life and Times of Millennial. Episode 5. Episode 5 is entitled This Is 30. It's going to be the life and times of this millennial as he approaches the big 3-0, which I'm super excited about, super blessed to still be on this earth, but there were some pivotal moments along the way that really shaped the person you're listening to today. So I wanted to give you guys some more insight into that. But before I do, always want to thank the listeners and everyone who's tuning in and giving feedback. The last episode got some pretty cool feedback on my socials. So just want to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, if you want to, you know, give any feedback or you want me to discuss certain content that, you know, a topic that you're going through right now, or you know, want me to touch base on, or want to be on the show, again, just hit me up. All my friends from New York are hitting me up and, you know, want to join in. And trust me, you're going to hear a lot of voices from New York soon in the coming weeks. But if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at AFN Podcast. And as always, on Instagram, at absolutely fucking not, no U after the F when you're writing that out. But I know the biggest question of the day is, what's up with low-key Danny? Is he still low-key? Is he, you know, back to his crazy ways, as a lot of people assume, back in the day? Well, the answer is probably a little bit of both. Was pretty low-key this past week, focused on work, focused on a topic at hand for this podcast, but actually had a pretty dope weekend. Friday night, went out for like the first time in fucking forever. My boy JC, shout out to JC, known him for like 6 years. It was his birthday, turned the big 3-2, met up with him in Wynwood. My man was Dominican late, showed up like an hour and a half late, but it's all good. It's his birthday, so he gets the pass. That was super fun. Took the girlfriend out to that. Danced a little bit. Haven't danced in like fucking 3 months, so that was super fun. Went to Naples the next day because I'm getting older, so they told me old people go to Naples, so that made sense. Hung out with some family friends there. For all my friends who are Seinfeld fans, and if you're not a Seinfeld fan, you're free to leave this podcast right now, but all my Seinfeld fans out there, think of Del Boca Vista, and then you know what Naples is, because Naples is pretty much Del Boca Vista to a T. Ambulances ready to go at all angles. So, but it was a great time. Met some really cool people, had some amazing food, and then Sunday went back down to Miami, but different vibe. Went to church, a new church. I think the pastor married like Kim Kardashian and Kanye or something, so that was super cool. Get a little bit more religious these days, and then had some really good food and hung out with some, you know, some really cool friends. Sam, which you guys know, hung out with him and his wife, who's about to pop any minute now, it looks, but she's still super skinny, so that's weird. And then hung out with my boy Rich and his dad, so it was awesome. So still low key, but have some pretty fun things planned for turning 30, and we'll get into that, you know, a little bit later. But back to the episode at hand, This Is 30. I really wanted to touch on this topic, man, because again, as any millennial or any person who's approaching, you know, a pivotal moment in their life, you know, you want to reflect a little bit and understand, you know, the journey you've been through. So I wanted to go through that with you guys today and just, you know, share my insight. You know, hopefully you can relate to it, hopefully it can help you, you know, solve maybe a dilemma you're going through right now, or, you know, just maybe a good story you can listen to, as you know, pretty much every episode I'm trying to find something for you guys to, you know, hold on to and obviously keep tuning in, but also, you know, helping you out, you know, throughout your days. So I really wanted to focus though on turning 18 onwards, because I feel like some pivotal moments in my life before the age of 18 were really, yes, they were obviously important. They had an impact on the person I am today, but it was more of a circumstance of my mom, right? So there was pivotal moments like when I turned 8, my mom sent me to Dominican Republic to live with my godmother, but I didn't really have any immediate family. It was just me and, you know, her nephews and nieces, but they became immediate family, and I learned Spanish, you know, for the first time, and that was obviously a pivotal moment now in my life. But again, that's because my mom had to send me there because she was traveling back and forth to India at the time, and I just had to be somewhere. So again, that's more my mom's choosing, right? And then I remember at the age of 17, I went to basketball camp in New Jersey, pretty you know, elite basketball camp I got invited to based off you know, a couple DVDs and other camps I went to. And then at the age of 17, I realized, wow, this basketball thing that I had a dream of for the past 6 or 7 years is probably not going to fucking happen, because these kids in America are just at a different level. And I don't, you know, I didn't have that competition on a weekly basis. So That was a pivotal moment, right? But again, if my mom doesn't pay for that expensive basketball camp, probably not gonna happen, right? So again, I feel like 18 onwards, when I became a man, quote unquote, is a pivotal moment, because now all the decisions on living on my own in Miami, moving to Charlotte, being back in South Florida, those were all based off me. So I really wanted to dive into that and make sure that I'm doing my story justice. And I really just want to focus on different stages and different ages in my life that I'm telling you, man, had a fucking huge impact on the man I am today as I approach the big 3-0. So I hope you guys enjoy the journey. We're going to go through different stages right now. Be back in a quick second. Thank you as always for tuning in to the Absolute Fucking Not Podcast. Get at us on Twitter at AFN Podcast if you wanna, chime in on this specific episode or anything in the future. Be back in a sec. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today on the Absolute Fucking Not Podcast. So if a lot of you heard that intro, you know who that is. It's DJ Who Kid, and I'll get to, how that relates to some of the things about to jump in today. But again, you're listening to the Absolute Fucking Not Podcast, The Life and Times of Millennial, Episode 5. This is 30. So obviously, any pivotal moment in any young adult's life, you think you're turning an adult, is turning 18. For your boy, it was no different. When I turned 18, I was living in India. That was my last year of high school. But it was an epic moment in my life. It was just like everything came together nicely. I was doing pretty good in school. College was pretty much wrapped up. I mean, I already got, I was, I felt pretty confident I was going to get into UM. So turning 18 was a pretty exciting moment for me. And my mom went all out. My mom is the best, and she went all out for my 18. And a couple things came together so nicely for me for my 18th birthday that I think shaped a couple things for me moving forward, and probably not the best way, but at least at this very moment, I definitely want to dive into this. Just you guys can not get jealous, but just understand how fucking epic it was to be 18 years old in India at that very fucking moment, I think 12 years ago. So my mom, again, obviously loves me to death. I have brothers and sisters, but I'm my mom's only child, so obviously spoiled me any chance she could get. And turning 18 was no different. A group of my friends, bunch of guys on my basketball team, and just kids who I've been friends with, my entire time in Delhi. She got us a table at this club in Noida, which is like right outside of Delhi, called Elevate. And if you guys know Elevate, 12 years ago, it's not what it is now. I don't even know if it's open right now, but it was pretty much one of the best clubs in India at the time, at least for me, because I mean, I didn't really know that many clubs at the age of 17 going on 18, but it was awesome. And a lot of developing countries as well, the drinking age in India is 25. As long as you have money, they're not IDing you, they're not, checking anything. Just you get in as you have, if you have money, you get in. If you don't have money, they're not going to let you in pretty much. So my mom hooked it up. She knew one of the managers there. Set up, table servers next to the stage. And at the time, which is why I played that music intro, VH1 had this thing with Shady Records, and they were doing like a Asian tour. And it just so happened that same Saturday, DJ Who Kid was gonna be at Elevate. So I was like, holy shit, man, I'm 18 years old, but I was obviously going to New York nonstop, leading up to this point. I had all the, G Unit and 50 Cent mixtapes. I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna fucking see Who Kid. And he was there. So it was like I had fucking all my friends, fucking bottle service at the age of 18, having a great time at this club. And I have DJ Who Kid spinning literally fucking 10 feet away from me. It was epic. He signed my G Unit Volume 2 International Ballers mixtape. He's like, yo, how the fuck do you even have this? Like, it was awesome, right? But that kind of set me up for failure moving forward, because if you fast forward like 2 years later, I moved. Well, I guess a few months later, when I moved to Miami for college, man, I had this whole expectation like, all right, I'm 18 now, I'm a man in Miami, which is, meant to be the party city of America, and it's like, Like, yeah, I know it wasn't living up to the hype, and I really think a lot of that had to do with me at an early age in India. And then I traveled to London a lot because I had some friends out there. I was going to like a lot of clubs and like living an adult life, but obviously with I still was going home to my mom. So in my mind, when I moved to Miami, it would be like, all right, I can go to school, but obviously play hard as well by going to the nightlife, right? Because everyone kept, hyping up Miami to be like this amazing thing. And then when I realized, man, it wasn't that to me. I don't know if it was I was just homesick, but when I got to Miami, man, it was a lot of house parties, a lot of people fucking struggling with these garbage ass fake IDs and going to clubs to wait in line for like fucking an hour to hopefully get in. Like, I don't know, man, it just didn't live up to the hype for me. And those first 2 years in Miami, my last, couple years as a teenager were kind of trash, to be honest, man. I remember my first year, I kept, looking for ways to transfer to London because I felt like in London, I felt more of what I wanted to be. Like, I was more of a man immediately because when you're 18, like you are, you can buy alcohol, you can, do whatever you want. You are a man in the government in everybody's eyes. I felt like in the States, it was like an extension of high school a little bit. It's like there was so all these rules and you had to, break all these rules in order if you wanted to have fun. Obviously, drinking and partying isn't the end all be all, but when you're a fucking 18-year-old who moved, continents to go to college, you have a couple of assumptions that you're gonna have a certain lifestyle, and that just wasn't happening. And a lot of that had to do with, I think, I just had these expectations of what life would be like, going, being in Miami, and I didn't understand why all my friends were so excited to go to certain places. I'm like, yo, like it's all right. I was just exposed to different things, I guess. So turning 18 was phenomenal. Like it really was. But I just think that because I got exposed to so much at an early age, phenomenal partying, what nightlife could be like, not getting that immediately in Miami because of my age really made me fucking hate it. I was like, actually, one of my good friends on my freshman year dorms, he ended up transferring out because he was actually Indian as well, but grew up in Hong Kong. He was used to a certain lifestyle. And we would actually go to London together to hang out with our friends, and it was like, all right, cool. Like, I'm a man, and like being 18 in the States is like, all right, yeah, you're old enough to drive and you're old enough to go to war, but like you're not old enough to do anything else. And that was kind of just it was kind of annoying, and it just felt like I was delaying my actual becoming of a man. So really think that played a huge part in my, late teen years and, 20s, because I felt like I could have became a man sooner. And if I would have gone to London or stayed in India or, for example, but coming in the States again, I just felt like, I know, it kind of delayed the process, but still had an amazing time, but just would have wished that I could have came almost like running. And it felt like I graduated high school, became a man, but then kind of came back, came to the States and just stalled things. And that was annoying. Again, I think it played a pivotal role as we go into a couple other stories, on this episode, because some of the experiences you're gonna see I went through, maybe they could have been different if I would have, really embraced or felt like a man at the age of 18 when most, kids back in India and in the UK did. So again, if you can relate to that anyway, or you have any comments for that, please hit me up on Twitter at AFN Podcast. Again, I wonder if like if that was just my case or if you were able to feel, when you hit the age of 18 in the States right away and you're like, yo, I'm a fucking man, or I'm a woman, I'm an adult now. For me, that wasn't the case. I felt like everything was delayed. So we'll love your feedback. Hit me up on Twitter. Gonna be back in a second here. Want to go fast forward a few years and give you my aspect of things when your boy finally graduated from UM. So stay tuned. Thank you again for listening to the Absolute Fucking Podcast, The Life and Times of Millennial, Episode 5. Back in a second. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Absolute Fucking Not Podcast with your host, Daybar is Open, Episode 5. This is 30, the life and times of this millennial as he approaches the big 3-0. You learned about me Presently, obviously, you've known about that for the past few episodes. You just learned about me at the age of 18, and when I, came to the States, that definitely was a hard period for me adjusting to the way things were done here. Felt like kind of prolonged my teenage years by a few more years by being here. But hey, I got over it. And if we fast forward now, 3 or 4 years, I'm about to graduate University of Miami here in South Florida. 22, 23 years old. I know I mentioned in the past like how there was moments that I went from busting my ass in school or sometimes not doing so. Well, my junior and senior year in college, I definitely bust my ass off. I wanted to get my GPA as high as possible. I was trying to land the dream job, whatever the fuck that means, or get a great internship that could that could lead to something more promising. And the main reason why, and this is so weird, it may be my millennial, self or tendencies kicking in, but whenever, even to today, whenever I have too much fucking free time, I get nothing done. Like if I only have one job, and I have, but besides that in my life I have nothing going on, I fucking prolong and procrastinate everything, and I get shit done to the very last moment. It may not be to the the best of my ability. When I have limited time in my day, the level of my work goes up by an extreme level. And I really think why I busted my ass off the last 2 years in college is because I got a job. My mom was like, "Hey, listen, I need you to help out with some of the bills. You just got a car, and I need you to help out." Perfect, not a problem. Got a job at the mall. Shout out to Daily Mall. Got a job at Guess selling jeans. Easiest fucking job in the world. Was getting paid $12 an hour or so. It was fucking awesome. All right, he's met one of my best friends to this day, John. There, shout out to John. But that was fucking like 18, 20 hours a week. So I now had limited time to apply towards school. I'm fucking maximized the most of that, and for some reason that just made me do better at school. So I guess having multiple things going on in your life, like today, for example, having this podcast and work, I see myself excelling at both at a higher level. So maybe I got that from this, but again, looking back at that time in my life, I was just about to graduate college. But unfortunately, despite me busting my ass, I really had no job offers. I went to a few college fairs throughout my senior year, met with guidance counselors. Nothing was really coming my way. I should have really jumped into like the internship field much earlier, maybe sophomore, even freshman year. But I was fucking thinking, I was like, yeah, I'm in Miami, it's fucking have a great time in the summer. I wasn't really focused on my future per se. But it was tough now because I'm 22. My mom has been paying my whole way, besides, me chipping in with a couple of things here and there. We came to a fucking crossroads. Like, all right, Danny, what are you gonna do moving forward? My mom's amazing, man. She's amazing, and she knows a lot of amazing people. And she obviously, she had her baby boy living on his own for 4 years. She really wanted me to come back home and, come back home with her. And she had a lot of people where if I wanted a, a corporate job, she could make that happen at a, very prestigious, brand. But honestly, like I was in no mood to go back to India. As I mentioned in previous episodes, I just felt like if I really wanted to, I just embraced finally becoming a man these past couple of years. I didn't want to go backwards per se and go back home and start from scratch. So she, she's I graduated college in May. She did a phenomenal thing and told me, hey, I'm gonna extend your rent out for another month. You have until the end of July to find a job. Otherwise, you're going to figure out on your own here. You're pretty much cut off, or you can come home and live with me, live rent free, and figure this shit out. Obviously, we know which route I took. My stubborn ass, like, nah, I'm a man. I'm a fucking figure this shit out on my own. Got this. No worries. When I mentioned before, went on a bunch of fucking job interviews. Nothing was really coming my way. I was fucking getting to the point like, yo, I just need a fucking job that's gonna help me cover my main bills, let me live on my own, pay for my shit, and I'll be good and I'll figure the rest out, right? Typical millennial, just say, like, whatever it is, we'll solve it now. We'll get to it later. No big deal. So I got a job offer from a school that, sorry, a job that actually came by my school during the job fair, Red Ventures. And it was, I mean, again, I worked there for 5 years and we'll get to that shortly, but at the time, it was an entry-level sales job, all right? And I was like, fuck it, this covers my bills. I'll be able to pay rent. I'll be able to pay my phone, at least I thought. But it was enough. So I told my mom, hey, mom, thank you so much for sending my rent out for another month. I'm going to be good. And then looking back at that, man, I really wish either I would have applied myself a little bit harder in school, my sophomore year at least, or maybe would have taken my mom's advice and gone back home, man, because, man, those first 2 years post college, or I guess a year and a half, were a fucking struggle. I hated my job, my guy. When I tell you I hated it with a passion. The funny thing is now, like, not to sidetrack, but the funny thing is now, like, I probably referred, like, in the year and a half I've been in my new job, I probably referred, like, I want to say fucking like 8 people, because I take that much pride in the work I do and the people I work with. Initially, when I worked at my old company, I didn't refer anybody, man. And the reason was I didn't want to be there, and I honestly had no pride in my fucking job. People will ask me all the time, you know, what you do, and I would just be like, yeah, you know, I do this, a little bit of that, a little bit of marketing, you know, a little online. No, my guy, I fucking did telesales, people calling in to set up home services. There was nothing fucking fancy about it besides the fact that I, you know, if you bust your ass, you could make good money. Keyword, if you bust your ass. I was not doing that. You know, the base salary covered most of my bills. I was constantly fucking on the job hunt, my first 6 months there, like looking for something else. Like the moment I walked in the door, I think I had a job interview somewhere else like 3 weeks later that I was absolutely all about. If I would have got that job, I would have dipped immediately. But for whatever reason, those things didn't work out. I think one of the job offers I got while I was working at Red Ventures was like in Orlando. I'm like, yeah, I'm not fucking, I just got an apartment. I'm not commuting back and forth. But man, those first 6 months living on my own post UM were fucking tough, man. Like, it was a commission-based job, so again, the base salary really, I got my wish, really only covered my bills, and my main bills is that there were a couple times that my fucking AT&T cell phone line got cut off. I had to fucking decide, am I gonna pay the full rent or am I gonna pay some of these bills? Like, it was fucking tight, and I remember being like about to turn 23. I was at my desk a little bit early at work, and I just fucking broke down. And I was, because I was online, looking at a couple, you know, friends on Facebook getting these fucking dream jobs or these dream fucking internships, and I literally broke down in tears. And I was like, yo, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like, is this what I want to be doing? And then shout out to, you know, I had a really great manager at the time, Armando, if you're listening, shout out to you, man. You know, he pulled me aside and was like, listen, you could fucking cry about this, or you can look at fucking realization that some of those people may have these great titles for certain companies, but you have the ability, if you apply yourself, to fucking make great money here and, you know, make a good living if, you know, for yourself. And luckily, that conversation, followed by a couple more by other leaders there, you know, really helped me shape the next, you know, 4 to 5 years for me. I embraced the challenge. I embraced, you know, the job itself. I fucking figured out that I was actually really good at the job if I just applied myself and put in the work and bust my ass. I finally started getting bigger commission checks, and then people saw that, hey, this guy faced adversity and fucking, you know, did a great job. You know, we have a bunch of other people that have some other adversity. Maybe, you know, he can lead others. And I ended up going into management, was there for like 5 years, and then, you know, got to a very high level, you know, in my department. So again, but none of this would have happened if I didn't fucking, you know, have those challenges post college. And it's just crazy, and this is why I always say in Miami I really became a man, because I fucking had to make it work. Like, I had to make it work, because there was no mommy and daddy to fall back on. There was no cushy little fucking, you know, savings funds for me. Like, my guy, if I got fired, if I didn't make it work, I was gonna be on the fucking streets. And that fear finally hit home, and I just fucking attacked. So that's why, really looking back at it again, yes, ideally I wish I would have done more my sophomore year and, you know, junior year in college to make sure I was ready to go. But it really fucking made me become a man. And all right, maybe this is a little bit more delayed than I wanted, but fuck it, I'm here. You can either fucking go running back home, which in my mind was never gonna fucking happen, or you could fucking attack this and really fucking, you know, be the guy you said you wanted to be when you first graduated. So I did that, finally became a fucking man to a certain extent, and you know, I'm better man for it. So my advice to anybody listening, millennial or not, man, like, hey, if you're gonna fucking do something and you're fucking gonna be about it, things are gonna get fucking get tough. Just fucking keep going at it, man. And obviously, look out for those people who are trying to help you. Again, I had some great mentors at Red Ventures that whenever things got tough for me and I got tough for myself, they looked out for me. So definitely pivotal moment in my life was those 2 years post college. But looking back at it, man, I wouldn't change it for the world. So that was 22, 23. Gonna take a little break here in a second on the Absolute Fucking Not podcast and fast forward a couple more years to the age of 25. And 25 was a pivotal year, not just for the person I am, but for the hairline that no longer was there. So keep tuning in. We'll jump into that for a second. All right. Thank you again for listening to episode 5 of the Absolute Fucking Not podcast with your host, Daybar is Open. This is 30. So in this journey to the Big 3-0, which we're doing on Saturday, and if you want to hang out Saturday, hit me up at AFN Podcast or just text me if you know my number. There was a pivotal point, man, at the age of 25, and I will give you as visual of a description as I can. Your boy's in bed. If you know me, I've always had white sheets. I like the whole hotel vibe. Always have white sheets, always have white towels in my apartment. One of these white sheets, things are very visible, and I keep fucking turning in my bed every morning and start noticing things. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck are these black hairs everywhere? And I'm like, yo, is my fucking, I have long eyelashes. I know I have, thick eyebrows. I'm like, yo, like, am I fucking losing my eyebrows? And I'm like, the fuck's going on? And then it keeps fucking happening. And then I'm like, holy shit, it's neither of those things. It's my fucking hair. So I'm 25 years old, my fucking hair is falling out. And the first thing I did was call my dad and like, Pop, you set me fucking up for failure. I was fucking pissed. Like, pissed. I literally a year before that, I was in, no, like 6 months before this moment, I was in India, fucking pictures of like 24 and a half, fucking full head of hair, curls, gorgeous curls, soft curls. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna be good for a minute, right? Because I'm like 24, 25. If no balding has happened now, I figure I got another 15 years left. No, absolutely fucking not. Came back to Miami, and within fucking 5 to 6 months, I don't know if I was stressed or whatever the fuck happened, but something fucking fast forward this male pattern baldness, and I was fucking depressed, my guy. I went to, any length I could. I was in Publix every other month buying some fucking Rogaine, Head and Shoulders fucking, thickness shampoo, which is all a bunch of fucking trash, by the way. Any of my guys listening to this that are losing their fucking hair, do not buy that shit. That shit is fucking useless and it's gonna drain you dry. So do not buy any of that crap. But it sucked, man. This shit was, again, I didn't fucking. My hair wasn't the end all be all for me. I usually kept it short for most of the year. But man, I had options though, right? I have fucking, I rock curls sometimes. Your man went with the fucking, the mohawk a couple of times, like a little fade on the sides. Like, I was like, I'm not saying it was the end of the world, but fuck, man. Like some of my confidence came from fucking, combing my hair in the morning and saying, all right, look yourself in the mirror, like you're having a good day. Go do your thing. That shit was coming to an abrupt end. An abrupt end, man, and it fucking, I'm telling you, man, like, that shit took a couple fucking months to deal with, man, and it sucked, because anyone who's losing their hair, man, you just start seeing your, whatever volume you had just starts going away, and it is, like, you're trying to comb the shit certain ways, you're trying to fucking avoid going to the, in the pool. I remember one time, my fucking ego was shot. I went to a lounge in Las Olas, Fort Lauderdale. And they didn't allow hats in. And I'm like, fuck. Because if you know, man, if your shit's, fading for you and you got a hat on, you take that hat off, there's no saving you. Like, unless you're going straight, you're walking around with a little comb with you, your shit's gonna look all spy like a cheetah. So, yeah, man, there were some pictures that night that I wish weren't on Facebook at all, but it was actually after that I was like, yo, you gotta get over this shit, man. You gotta become truly confident of who the fuck you are as a person, as in your looks, because your hair ain't gonna be doing it for you for much longer, man. So I was like, you know what, man, fuck this. I'm a good looking dude. think I'm good looking, whatever. Decent shape head. I have a big fucking head, but I'm also fucking 6'7", so it's just fine, and it's not an odd shaped head. So I was like, yo, time to shave this shit off. But again, if you're gonna embrace the baldy look, bro, trust me, you better get your confidence up, man, because it's all on you. There's nothing else, man. It's all on you, man. So there's nothing to comb in the morning. There's nothing to boost your ego because your hair's looking right. It's all on you. So I've been, I've embraced it. I've had the baldy look for like 5 years now. It's a vibe. It's fine. Not completely gone just yet. But I've embraced it, man. I use certain products that are just holding on to whatever hairline I have left. My goal is, at least I can fucking edge my shit up on my wedding day. But yeah, man, I just had to touch base on that because at the age of 25, going bald was a fucking pivotal moment, right? Because you think things are all going well in your life, and then boom, your fucking hairline is not as straight anymore, and it's like, fuck. So just wanted to share that, obviously being vulnerable there, but I know a lot of people listening to shit can relate to that. My baby brother, Chizea, hit me up like 2 years ago, and he's like 21, and was like, yo, it's happening. I'm like, yo, fucking Pop did it to you too, bro. So again, Pop can never deny us, man, because his genes are too strong. They're fucking up a hairline every other year. So shout out to Pops for fucking it up for me. But again, I wanted to share that. Gonna be back in a moment with the last segment. More fast forward to a couple years ago, which a lot of people say was probably the most, or I think was probably my most defining year to date, that I definitely want to share with you because I think if your boy made it through that, you can probably make it through most things. So thank you again for tuning into the podcast. Last episode coming up shortly. All right, thank you again for being on this journey with me as we explore the different stages of my life on my road to 30. This is the Absolute Fucking Not podcast. You're rocking with your boy Daybar is Open, the life and times of a millennial. So I know this is more self-centered version of this, but I really think some of these moments in my life really played a pivotal role in being the person I am today. And I really think some of these things, or you're like, fuck it, this guy went through that, whatever I'm going through is easier. Hey, if that's the way he approached it, maybe I can approach it that way and that can help me out. Whatever the case may be, I just hope you're enjoying this. And thank you for letting me share some key moments. So I want to fast forward a couple more years, and now it's mid 2016, approach 2017. I'm about to turn 28, living in Charlotte. And man, life in Charlotte was super good, man. It was a great city, especially for like millennials, man, just young professionals. Like it's everything you need. It's the bar scene, just great places. Everything is fucking brand new. So it's all Instagram worthy. Like it's just a fucking dope place to be in. But I was approaching a little bit more than 5 years now at Red Ventures, and same company where 4.5 years ago I was fucking crying my eyes out at my desk, thinking like, why the fuck am I still here? What am I doing? I stuck it out. Got pretty far in the company, of being completely honest with myself and you guys. Essentially like a golden child. I mean, I felt like I could do no wrong there. I had stocks in the company. Everyone loved me from a pretty high C level as well. So like it was a good spot. Most people probably would never walk away from that, but I felt that a decision needed to be made. If like, hey, am I going to stick this out for another 4 or 5 years, or is it time to make a change? Because if I'm being honest with myself, I did feel, not a burnout, but I feel like I achieved what I needed to with the company. I felt like I reached a pretty high level. They probably would have moved me to a different position if I asked or I kept persistent on it, but I just felt in my mind that I was done. Looking back on it though, I probably should have had a better plan B, because I feel like my me leaving Red Venture was more abruptly than I wanted to be, and coming back to Miami was more rushed than it should have been. I think I went back to Miami at the time, at least for the wrong reasons, and I was chasing a girl, chasing a dream, all because I had this plan, quote unquote, right? You had a plan, you have a great job, meet the right girl, you make it work, that's what you have to do, right? And I feel that looking back on it, man, I really wish I would listen to my friends who kept asking, like, bro, are you sure you want to do this? Like, are you sure? Like, why are you moving back? Like, you have so good here. But wait, it is what it is, man. So I moved to Miami, left my job, unemployed. Now the fall of 2016, and literally, I kid you not, The first night back in Miami, I texted my best friend Billy. Shout out Billy. I know you listen to this every week. And I was like, Billy, I made a fucking mistake. The moment I moved into my apartment in Miami with my girlfriend at the time, it was like, yep, this relationship is done. This is not gonna work. Didn't break up at the time, but it was the writing was on the wall. Like, this was not going to work. So now, 27, about to be 28, currently unemployed, in a relationship that is absolutely done, like on his last limb, with no friends, because all my friends who I had when I was living in Miami, were from UM or from my old job, and I was gone in Charlotte for the past 2 or 3 years. They were all gone. I did have one friend, so I mentioned before, John, who I've known again since my time at Guess. Thank God for him being around, because besides him, I had fucking no one. So find myself unemployed in a dead end relationship now, with no one to really vent to besides John, my close friend, or calling my best friend Billy back in New York. So I was super lucky though, because I had some family in town, and they told me about a job with my current employer. And it's a great culture, great people, and the money was actually more than what I was making at Red Venture. So I was like, fuck, yes, please, I need something, because I was unemployed now for like a month and a half. Fucking 27-year-old unemployed, right? Talk about taking a couple steps back. But hey, I found a job. I made it work. Was super excited about it, but my fucking overall life was still fucking miserable, because the job was in close to Fort, in Pompano, right? Essentially. So that's, for you guys who don't know, that's a little bit north, the northern part of South Florida. I was living deep in Miami, which is Kendall, which shouldn't even be fucking called Miami. It's like a different fucking state. So I was driving like 3 hours a day, round trip, fucking miserable. Just sitting in your car for 15 hours a week was absolute fucking trash. And then coming home to fucking be with someone who you don't even ever want to make eye contact with, is it was tough, man. So that was fucking tough. And at the same time, while I was looking for a job before I got this new job, I was actually applying for my MBA, which I mentioned to you guys, and I got into that an MBA program 3 weeks into this new job. So I am super excited about that, proud, because as I mentioned before, I never thought I was good enough to even be in an MBA program, let alone get accepted to one. But now I'm also fucking terrified, because I'm going into a job where I have no real experience in that industry, and now I have to do all my MBA program, and I'm still fucking commuting 3 hours a day. So trying to find the balance in that was super tough, man. Like, I'm telling you, super hard. There was months that if I was doing good at school, that meant I was doing shit at work, and I was doing shit at school, I was doing great at work. So I really need to find the balance. Things really came together nicely for me when I finally fucking moved out of Kendall and literally got a apartment across the street from my current job. And I stayed in my apartment for, like, side note, for 3 weeks after I broke up with this individual. Any advice for anybody? It may sound like a good idea. Yeah, I'll sleep on the couch, no big deal. That is the absolute fucking worst. If you're having a bad relationship with anybody, family member, friend, whoever, and things are that fucking bad, get out. I'm telling you as of right now, get out, because there is nothing more awkward than being in the same living space with someone who you just have nothing to talk about whatsoever. So, but thankfully got a new spot, and that really made life, that was better for me, man. I can, focus on work, really give the attention I needed there, pay them back for all the money and time they invested in me. And, I made things work, man. It was super tough finding balance. But fuck, man, I made it through that, man. I made it through a time where I was fucking left a great job, great paying job, great people who I became almost family with for 5 years, and came to fucking Miami with literally nothing. And there was moments, man, in that I was like, holy shit, this is not gonna end well for your boy. And even when I got this job and got to the grad school, like, still dealing with the idea of like, yo, did I make a mistake? And man, there was some fucking emotional roller coaster rides in that, man. There was nights I wish I could take back. In 2017, like when I got the job and I was in the MBA program, that I just got like all my emotions came out, and I was sometimes drinking too much, and like it was rough, man. But I fucking I made it through, and there was like a common common denominator in all of this is that, I prayed a lot that year. But it was, I always prayed before, but it was more like I prayed, but I fucking put in the effort. I bust my ass off at school. Once I fucking moved closer to my job, I fucking bust my ass off at my job to make that work. So there's always a phrase that I learned now recently in church is like, you can't ask for blessings if you're not going to put the work in, right? So I guess I was doing that for so long this past year that I feel like it's finally come to fruition very fucking nicely for me. And I think what also fucking helped me at this time in my life is that I was, single and I could just focus on myself and be selfish, right? I didn't have to, focus on a new job, a new education, and then also focus on, somebody else's happiness. I could just focus on my own and, figure out what the fuck I needed in my life to get through that difficult stage. Because, in all honesty, this is probably the first time in my life that I had real personal hardship, right? In the past, like, fucking losing my hairline, like, all right, that's not that serious. Like, things just always fucking ended up working out for me quite nicely. This is the first time ever that things just fucking crumbled and I had to fucking put the pieces back together and hopefully make a better version of what I had before. And I'm, knocking on wood right now that things have fucking turned out nicely, which is why I'm so excited about this coming weekend and turning 30, because I feel this honestly is probably the best version of me. And I'm not, saying that just to fucking be pompous. Like, I've been through some fucking shit. I was telling, I mean, you guys remember Sammy from episode 3, Made in New York. If you haven't, go check that out. Little nice plug for my boy. But Sammy was here a few months back and he was going through some emotional shit. And I told him this same story I just told you in this segment. And he was like, damn, my guy, if you made it through that, I'm stupid for even fucking complaining, right? So if your boy made it through 2017, trust me, man, just keep working, keep praying to whoever it is you pray to, and it'll work out for you just fine. But again, super excited to be through those moments in my life, each and every single one, shape the person who I am today. And I'm really excited about turning 30. So 30 is going to be low key, but a lot of fun as well. I'm going to have, some great dinner plans with my girl, a couple restaurants in Fort Lauderdale I love going to. Going to hang out with a bunch of friends on Saturday at my boy Pablo's house. So if you know me, slide through. I haven't invited you yet. Just come through. And then Sunday, a little boys brunch, get some mimosas in, chicken and waffles. Just a good time, man. A lot of alcohol will be consumed, but I'm going to be around some people that I genuinely care about. So thank you so much for tuning in to episode 5 of the Absolute Fucking Not Podcast. I hope you had some points you can take away and apply to your own life. And I hope that some of this stuff gave you better perspective on all the things I've been through and, make you tune into episode 6. But again, I want to thank you guys so much. It's been an absolute honor doing this for 5 weeks straight. Can't wait for episode 6. Peace.